Today on Real Radio.
And Paul speaks about how we need to agonize. Agonizo is in the Greek word. We need to, and the word is gymnazo. We need to work out in the spirit. We need to prepare ourselves for a race or for wrestling to win.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Chapter 17 of 1 Samuel tells that famous story about Goliath and, of course, David. You may have learned that during your childhood, of course, but this is indeed no children's story. It's one of the many life and death struggles between Israel and its enemies. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson taken from 1 Samuel chapter 17 called Winning the Battles of Life.
But notice this. It's the Philistines that gathered together in a region, Soko, which belongs to Judah. They are in Israeli territory. Territory that God had given to Israel. That's what makes this important to us tonight. The enemy will always invade territories of our lives. Very important. We need to understand that there are territories and strongholds that God has established in your life. Listen carefully. Has God delivered you from anything since you become a Christian? You better have a testimony about that. It could be anger, it could be whatever. Has God delivered you? And has He in turn established a territory or stronghold, as it were, with His banner waving over that territory? The answer is yes. You have been conquered by the Holy Spirit of the glory of God. You are a testimony of the living God. You belong to Him. And I tell you, we've lost this romance of Scripture, but in the ancient days, you look at men like Jacob and Abraham, they walked areas. And when they walked, God would speak to them, and He would say, "This area that you've walked, I've given it into your hands." There's a good thing about thinking like that. I told you before, in 1986, we stood under that huge oak tree that's now the logo for the city of Chino Hills. We stood under that oak tree and we didn't know what we were doing. We lifted up our hands and we said, "Lord, we're here. If you want to deliver these hills and this valley into your hands for your glory, use us in Jesus' name. Amen." We didn't even know what we were saying. But you know what? Our hearts were right. We were sincere about it. There's something that we need to walk like that where we go. Where do you work? Do you realize, I believe what I'm about to say here. If you don't believe it, don't tell me. It'll hurt my feelings. But I believe that a company will be blessed by the Lord because a Christian works there. Hey, if there's any non-believing company owners here tonight, you ought to hire a Christian. I think God will bless God will keep your doors open because He's got one of His kids working in your company. I've seen it happen. I've also seen it happen when the Christian or Christians leave, the company shuts down. Isn't that interesting? Kind of goes along the lines where God speaks regarding Abraham, "I'll bless those who bless, and I'll curse those who curse." Interesting, huh? It's all about territories. In your life, have you advanced in an area? In God, you've gotten success in an area. Maybe it's been years. And all of a sudden, things are slowly now. You're noticing there's a creeping back of the world, almost like weeds in a garden. Was there a time in your life where you prayed and you were earnest about prayer? Was there a time in your life when you were so excited to share Jesus with people? Or what about just telling your friend? You love them, you do everything with them, they're important to you, and you care for them. But there was a time when you would tell them about Jesus, and now you don't. Are there territories in your life that God has conquered and set up a boundary to, but you and I, we've let those fences get torn down? Maybe it's in the area of your mouth or what you allow your eyes to see or your ears to hear. There was a day maybe when you said, "Well, I walked a little bit more holy than I do now." Be careful. These are dangerous moves. And the world is against us and Satan's against us and our flesh is against us to get us out of an advancement with God. Satan's already lost your soul. He can't do anything about that. You belong to Christ. But the danger is he wants to sterilize you so that you don't influence anyone else for Christ. Like Lazarus. Lazarus knew the Lord Jesus, but Jesus gave him life. He came hopping out of the tomb, but he was still wrapped in his grave clothes. He couldn't speak. He couldn't walk. He could only hop. And that's why Jesus said, after Jesus had given him life, somebody to loose him and let him go. It's a great verse, huh? Jesus has given us life, but maybe over the course of time, we've let things creep back into our lives. I'm absolutely shocked and amazed how so many Christian homes are falling apart and marriages are breaking up in this area of men getting online with pornography. I tell you, if there's anybody in here tonight that's struggling with that, watch this. Take your computer and throw it out the window.
I'm sure, Pastor, it costs $1,700.
Then give us your house key. Go take a walk and we'll bring a hammer over. You know why? It's destroying your home. It's destroying your kids. You don't think your kids are on it? They know how to get on it. Oh, they don't know my password. They know how to get your password. Then it affects your thinking. Then it affects your time with your wife. It affects your time, the way you look at people. And then you go to pray and you're wondering why God's not hearing you. Battleground, territories. The enemy's trying to take them back. Jesus has radically delivered you out of these things. And there's the thing of the world pulling in. I hear people about going online. I tell you, I guess if there was ever a computer system set up where you could research, you know, National Geographic and NASA, I guess that would be all right. But people start out researching NASA, and they wind up wandering over to their class reunion thing and meeting up with an old boyfriend and jeopardizing now their husband and wife, their kids. And it all started on the internet. What is this? It's the enemy coming back, using whatever he can to take ground, to steal what God has established. It's all about territories. The Philistines showed up, and they are in the area that is owned by Israel. That's why your Bible says in verse 1 that it belongs to Judah. God had delivered them from bondage. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, "For we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," meaty, fleshly, of this world, "but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." You see, God takes an area, and then the enemy will try to take it back. And this will happen. But we don't need to give the enemy any foothold. So many people struggling. They're wondering why things are going so bad and why they can't progress in their Christian walk. They can't have victory because they're almost, as it were, handing the keys over to an area where God had provided deliverance from. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Did you know that? Do you feel like that? Something comes on the TV screen or somebody says something to you, or that boss comes up, you know, and sticks his face in your face and he says, "Oh, you know, you goofed up again," and your temper starts to... So, wait a minute, Lord, I'm more than a conqueror. Whatever it might be, what kind of victory? God says he has given us the power through Jesus Christ and territories. I want you to start thinking that the battles that you and I go through, it's all about, so to speak, spiritual Philistines moving into the area that God has already claimed to be his own. Didn't Solomon say it's the little foxes that spoil the vineyards? Do you know that? You know why? If you've ever seen a vineyard in Israel, the fences are built a certain size to keep the foxes out. But you know what happens when a little baby fox, it's those little stinkers. They slip through the gate where it's to keep the big ones out. But the little guy gets in and he starts eating all the tender, brand new little branches and the grapes. And Solomon said, "Hey, it's the little foxes that spoil the grapes, spoils the vineyard. I was building a fence to keep out the big wolves and stuff, and it was those little cute things." Oh, look, isn't this a little cute thing? Look how cute it is. Whatever it is, look how cute it is. and it wouldn't harm a fly. And Solomon says, watch out. It's those little things that'll mess you up. Doesn't the scripture says that there are sins that can so easily beset us? Book of Hebrews warns us. The Bible talks about how we ought to be like sprinters. We prepare ourselves for a run. In the Greek Olympics, the wrestlers used to actually wrestle what they called naked. They actually just had a gourd. You know what a gourd is? I don't need to explain it to you. It's rather a grotesque thing. Anyway, they wrestled almost naked. And before they went out into the ring for the Olympic Games, they covered themselves in oil. Why? So that the opponent could get nothing on them, so that they couldn't find any kind of a grasp or upper hand to wrestle down you to the ground. And Paul speaks about how we need to agonize. Agonizo is in the Greek word. We need to, and the word is gymnazo. We need to work out in the spirit. We need to prepare ourselves for a race or for wrestling to win. It's very important. And so you can just think of a sprinter in the blocks. And can you imagine that sprinter? He's in the blocks. You see those guys? Who's that guy? Is it Michael Jordan, the sprinter? Not Michael Jordan. Michael Johnson. Oh, that guy. Have you seen him run? It's not right. It's not right that a man could run that fast and feel good about it. He's running. I mean, he's just... He's just moving. And his legs are going... And he's having a great time. My disc would be slipping out. My teeth would be falling out. This guy's just running. You know, you don't see him in Levi's. He doesn't have a parka on. He is lean, and he's got clothing on that I would imagine weighs an ounce or two. And he's running for his life. We need to awaken to the fact that we are in a spiritual battle and that our opponent is invisible. Not only that, in verse 1 we learn this, that awakening to the fact that we're in a battle, it's about defending what God has given us already. Jot that down. It's about defending what God has given us already. It says, now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered to Socoh, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socoh and Azekai in Ephes Damim, areas that God had already given. God does not give up territory. Aren't you glad? Has anyone ever backslidden in their life? That is, you have not progressed with Jesus, but you went backward. Anybody? See, I know when to ask you questions to get you to lie at the critical moment. And you just did it. You fell right for it. Everyone has backslidden at some point in time in their life. Everyone. It may not shine forth on the outside. It could be the attitude of your life. Could be the attitude of your heart. And when you were backsliding, did you notice how heavy God's hand was on you? Huh? Man, I tell you, I don't know who's listening right now, but if you know Jesus and you're saved, you're going to heaven, and you're not walking with him, aren't you miserable? I mean, look at you. You're disgusting. You can't stand yourself. You're so unhappy. You're trying to do this thing, and God's saying, we're not going to do that. And you go, yeah, we are. And you get in an argument with God. Every day you're in an argument with him. You're not doing what he says, and you're fighting with God. And there's a war. And his hand is heavy on you. That's one of the great signs of being a believer. He will not let his children go away too far, and when they do, he disciplines them good. You belong to him. He will not give you up. You may give up on you. He will not give up. He will pursue you. He will keep you. And by the way, the Bible says the God who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And I happen to believe that's true regarding my soul. He will not sleep. He will not fall asleep on guard when it comes to my soul. Doesn't the Bible say that nothing will separate us from the love of God? And it says in there, in the fine print, nor any created thing. Are you created? I believe that I cannot separate myself from God. He's going to keep me with him. He's going to have my heart in his hand. I'm a created thing. And I want him to be the Lord of my life. And even when you're not walking with God, you still cannot. You cannot deny him. You wrestle with him. God will not give up ground. God had blessed Israel, but they're in this place of a battle. And they have a pretty formidable enemy before them, as we'll see in our studies about Goliath and all. But the devil is wicked. By the way, this area that we're talking about is about 20 miles. Listen carefully if you haven't been there. It's about 20 miles southwest of Jerusalem, south-southwest of Jerusalem. The Valley of Elah personally reminds me of many of the meadow valleys of Lake Tahoe area. It's beautifully wooded with pine trees, green valleys, and the Valley of Elah is as it was thousands of years ago. It's the same today. In fact, it's one of the rare places in Israel you can go, and the creek bed has smooth, round stones. Israel does not have smooth stones, but they do right there. And by the way, when you're there, there's nothing there. In fact, when we go there, we reenact the Goliath deal. Was anybody with us on that one trip where we did that? Wasn't that fun? Yeah, Jeff, you were Goliath, weren't you? You were. It was great. He still bears the scar today. Look at his forehead. No, it's just beautiful. Beautiful area. You'd never think, oh, you know, Israel must be sand dunes. It looks like Lake Tahoe area. And so they're fighting. Isn't that just like the enemy to come into an area? Have you noticed? I don't want to get off the track. I'll just say this. Have you noticed in areas that are extremely beautiful nature-wise, it's always given over to weird satanic paganism? You'd be hiking down a trail in Yosemite. It's just so beautiful. And there's some nut sitting on a rock, naked, focusing on his navel, humming something. What are you doing? What is it? It's almost like Satan wants to conquer these beautiful areas. Have you been... I hope nobody gets our teaching in Sedona, Arizona. Have you ever been to Sedona, Arizona? Is it not beautiful? It's absolutely, it's like a feast for your eyes. The mountains are so red, the sky is so blue, and the tree is so green. And look at this, it's so beautiful, we're just enjoying it. And some nut walks by with a pyramid on his head. And he's trying to find his harmonic convergence. What is this? Satan's not attacking the ghetto in our story. He's going after the choice area of Israel's life. How does that equate to us? Satan will go after the choice areas of our life. What is your joy? God has blessed you with it. Whatever it is. Maybe God uses you in your pen or in your voice or in your music or in your witness at work or your company or your... whatever. Isn't that where he attacks? In the choice things? He's not stupid. He's wicked. The enemy. The conflict is over the possession of land. Or something more important. The ground that God has granted us in victory. Satan will try to take back ground that he has lost. And he'll try to do it through temptation and possessions and pride and power. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, you're going to want to jot this down and memorize it. Want to have it blazoned into your heart and mind. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 through 8 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's the first step. That he may exalt you in due time. Listen, anybody prone to worry? Listen to verse 7, 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting, the word in Greek is to heave, to throw it, to, as it were, catapult it. Catapult your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called Winning the Battles of Life. Winning the Battles of Life is actually a multi-part mini-series taken from our journey through 1 Samuel. It's, of course, the famous story of David and Goliath. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, because it's Friday, that means it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack. Ask Pastor Jack. It's a way of getting your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. All right, today's Ask Pastor Jack comes from the pulpit. Here's the question. Pastor Jack, regarding the passage where Jesus said, one will be taken and one will be left, is that talking about the rapture?
You mean, is it a rapture parable? No. Remember, we covered that. I know this is a shockeroony. people who use, I think it's Luke 17, verses 33 to 36, I think it is, something like that, where two will be at the mill grinding. One will be taken, the other one will be left. Remember that? There'll be two in the field. One will be taken, the other one will be left. Because one is taken, people easily assume it must be the rapture because they're taken. This is a Western view. This is a European-American view. It's completely in error. That verse, that parable has nothing to do with the rapture. The parable has everything to do with judgment. The disciples set it up because the disciples asked Jesus, or when Jesus states the parable, the disciples do us a great service. They ask the right question. They ask a Middle Eastern question. They didn't ask him, Jesus, where do they stay? Did they? They didn't ask that. One will be taken, the other one will be left. They didn't ask, where do they stay? They asked the serious question. They said, Master, Lord, where are they taken? Do you remember Jesus' response? Jesus says, wherever the carcass, wherever the rotten, decaying flesh is gathered together, there the word in your English version Bible is unfortunate. It will say the eagles are gathered together. In the original Greek language, it's not the word eagles, it's the word griffin, an unclean flesh-eating bird. And in the Golan Heights, they are massive creatures. They're very intimidating. The griffins, I don't know how tall this is, some of you construction people, but the griffins, the flesh-eating birds that Jesus is referring to, when they're standing around, just standing around, their heads are probably about this high. They're beautifully desert-colored sand color. They're massive, scary-looking things. And that is the bird, by the way, that Jesus is referring to. The flesh-eating bird, the griffin, will come and devour their flesh. So that's the disciples saved us a lot of grief. Wherever the people are taken, they're taken to a place where these unclean birds will come and consume their flesh. It's not the rapture. I've heard pastors and Bible teachers use that as a rapture verse. And anybody in the room hearing the message who knows kind of winces at that, because that's not good. It's not the rapture. Don't get the similarities to get you to think it is. Whoever they're taken away to judgment. The actual parable is in reference to the judgment that precedes the advent of the millennial kingdom. When Jesus Christ returns in the second coming, he will separate the sheep from the goats. That's another Western thing you better be careful about. That's not Christians from non-Christians. Matthew 25, he separates the nations, sheep from the goats. The sheep nations were those nations, he says, that were good to Israel during the 7-year tribulation period. The goat nations were those who mistreated Israel during that time. The goats will be destroyed and the sheep will live into the kingdom. The ones that are taken away, those are the ones that are carted off to judgment and they're consumed. So read your Bible carefully and always judge what you hear. And remember, the Bible is written in a Middle Eastern context. So there's a lot of great books out there that you can buy, like the first century church or Israel in the time of Jesus, books like that. They have great things about cooking and pottery and shoes and you know, prayer and what they wore, and it's a very, very cool thing. You need to be immersed in that culture. You need to sign up and go with us to Israel when we get opportunity to go.
All right, that's Pastor Jack clearing things up on a passage that's quite often misinterpreted. Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.